Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited you're here, and I'm so excited to have, first of all, Tracy Mahan, my co-host.
Hi, everyone.
And then our very, very special guest, our Level 3 Practitioner on our Level 3 Practitioner series, Natalie Hall. And so glad you're here, Natalie, and you're coming from England. Is that right?
Yes, I am, in Dorset, in England.
Don't you love that English accent, everybody?
Yeah, we're just going to let you talk and we'll listen.
So I've watched some of the other Level 3 practitioners that you've interviewed, and it's been really nice. It's been a different theme, it seems, each time, because obviously QHHT can be so different. And maybe we sort of generate different types of sessions as well, and draw to us maybe different sort of themes at times. I've noticed that myself. It seems to be different themes at different times. At the moment, it seems to be a theme of the subconscious asking any individual to trust their own intuition, to lead themselves, to take care of themselves, to recognize that they are worthy, to listen within, and nice. To, yeah, that kind of thing.
That is so huge and so powerful, especially right now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Very cool.
And I love synchronicities, because I was thinking, what am I going to talk about on this show? Because I do so many of these sessions for so many years. I first qualified in 2011 with your mother and yourself as a QHHT practitioner. Sometimes the information just gets all mangled in there. And I thought, which session? They're going to want to talk about some sessions. Which one should I talk about? Yeah. And just, they're all so amazing. But a synchronicity.
Just like in the session, whatever is appropriate, whatever is what we need to hear, will just pop up. Just at the time,
say that.
Time to hear it. So we will trust.
Yes.
The ever all wisdom parts of ourselves to know exactly, and because that's how it always is there, it's like, wow, this just popped in, bingo.
It's exactly that that's happened. Two examples, which is probably all that we need really, is somebody contacted me this morning from having their session 2 years ago, around about the same time 2 years ago, and wanted to book another one. And his focus was more on the healing side of QHHT, because some people come and they're just really inquisitive about what they might have been. And most people want to know their purpose. That's the age-old sort of question we always get asked to ask the subconscious. And then other people have got more of a focus on the healing side. And that was the case with him. And I said, I'm intrigued. You're booking it. You want to book another session at the earliest opportunity. What did you feel that you gained last time around? Because obviously this is a standalone session. You don't need to have another one unless you really want one. Right. And he said, oh, it's amazing. He said, my life changed from the moment I had the session. I said, what was the biggest change? He said, well, when I was a child, I was beaten up. And my nose was fractured. And he said, I've spent my entire life, he said, unable to breathe through my left nostril. He said, immediately through the energy work in the session, he said, I've been able to breathe through my left nostril. He said, it's a little bit blocked, but not hardly at all anymore. He said, I can breathe out of it. I couldn't breathe out of it before. And he said, and physically, the nose straightened somewhat, not completely, but it straightened somewhat.
Wow.
So That was pretty amazing. There was lots of things that came through in his session. Also, his current life partner, his love of his life, that was his partner in another existence.
Nice.
And that was a complete, a sort of what I call a quantum story, that one, because they were two lights that became one and merged. And his partner was his big reward for... a life well done in a previous life. But that was multifaceted, but I'm going off on one. I already know that. What is it? Was there something that you wanted to ask me to start first of all?
Yeah. First of all, well, let's just talk about your journey, but I think that's a great way to start that's a wonderful message for people to understand of what happens. And so many times we don't even hear from people after their sessions because they go on their lives and they just have their success stories and don't let us know.
Yes, that's it. I love it when we get back.
Right. And so that was really nice. And it's like, unless they want to come back or whatever, then we catch up and stuff. So beautiful. So that's a great intro.
Mm-hmm.
But so, let's just talk about like your journey into KBHT. I don't know your story. I don't know, like, have you always been into metaphysics, like ever, you know, from a baby, and you know, or was there a journey involved in there to get you to QHHT and to where you are now?
I think I do think that there was a journey. So from the age of around about 4 or 5, my father was diagnosed with a very serious syndrome. He had a critical illness, and his white blood cells were attacking his liver and his kidneys. Okay. Wow. And the specialist said that he wouldn't survive. Mm-hmm. And my parents' attitude right from the very, very beginning was, stupid doctors, of course he's going to live. And he did. They had to write medical journals. He was about 4 years or so on a kidney dialysis. So when I was 4, I was about 10. But we used to have spiritual healers come around to the house. And they would do this healing on him, and they were psychic, and they used to have messages from his father that had passed over. And we had some amazing experiences with them. And they used to look at me and they said, this one's psychic, she's going to be a healer. And I never knew how it was going to transpire. I was too young to fully understand that. And as I got older, I worked in the family business. We had a chain of clothing shops. His brother had given him a kidney. Then they were a match, as if they were twins, which is like one in so many, I don't know if it's hundreds or thousands of chance. So that's why his body accepted the kidney transplant. And I just worked in the business, and I worked hard, really, really hard. But from an early age, from around about 10, my cousin died of cancer. He was 6. And from his death, that opened me up psychically, and I could see so much, so many unusual things that people don't really understand. Well, some do, a lot of people do, and more people are realizing it more and more now. Yeah. But I saw so much as a teenager. But what I found is, over the years, different events would happen, and then different gifts would come through, and I wouldn't get so much of what I used to see or experience, and then different kinds of experiences would happen, but always exactly what I needed to guide me or warn me quite often. So that's been good.
That one.
Yeah. So I worked in the family business, and I just felt unfulfilled, though. I always felt that I was meant to be doing something else. But like anybody that's gone into a family business, it's hard to leave, and it's hard to know how to make that change. Mm-hmm. And eventually he did pass, but that was because of the pharmaceuticals, the drugs that he would take to keep the kidneys functioning actually had a detrimental effect on the heart. So he eventually died of heart attacks. And then that pushed me and forced me to have to do something else. So I initially worked in property, and I kept saying the same thing. And now I understand that the words that we keep speaking are really, really powerful. And I just kept saying to my mother at the time, this is so soul destroying. I was good at it, but it was soul destroying. And I just had this Satori moment one day in a spa, and I thought, this is the environment I'm meant to be in. So it started with the environment, my awareness. It was meant to be still. It's meant to be peaceful. It's meant to be helping other people somehow. So I had to try and decide how it was going to transpire. And I had an energy healing session. And just actually the night before I had the energy healing session, I had a very clear message that said, healer communicator. And occasionally I get these voices, not all the time. I wish I'd get them more often, because they're definitely definite. But it just said, healer communicator. And with that, I got goose pimples, the truth bumps. And I said to my mother at the time, I'm just been told I'm a healer communicator. I said, bizarre words. Went for this energy healing session the following day. The man had never met me before. He didn't know me. And at the end of the session, he said, you're a healer communicator. I said, I know.
How about some confirmation here?
I said, I was told that as well. I said, but as you've been doing this session, I've got the next piece of the jigsaw puzzle. I kept hearing specifically the word hypnotherapy repeated to me. Wow. And so I'm very proactive. If I've got, you know, an idea of what I'm meant to be doing, I will go all out to do it. And I went online and I found this advanced hypnotherapy course. I didn't know about Dolores at that point. And it was called Advanced Hypnotherapy and Hypnohealing. And that really drew me. It was a very rounded training in that we learned some neuro-linguistic programming there as well. We also learned past life regression. So past life regression wasn't my sole focus from the beginning. I already had 100% belief, you know, that we're energetic beings. I'd come out of a 5-year relationship, and through that I could see people's energy fields, and not only people's, I could see energy around inanimate objects, which really blew my mind, because I thought, well, why are they around stones, and why is this around even picture frames? I had all these questions. And anyway, started taking the training, and I was called back to help out after I'd qualified, and that was in 2004. And I was a guinea pig, and other people were guinea pigs, and we just sort of tried stuff out on one another. And what amazed me is that I got the tail end of a life just in normal past life regression. And I think I'd been murdered, and I was saved all of the detail in that session. But I transitioned as an orb out of that life, and I was confused as to where to go. But because it was just a practice session in class, we quickly had to come back round. I didn't get all the answers, but I knew for sure that that felt definite.
Yeah.
And then I facilitated a session, just a very short clip, with a guy there, and he was on a boat, and he started to feel seasick, and he looked like he was actually going to be sick. And I thought, this is so real. They are right back there at that time, but we weren't doing it in a way like with QHHT that had all the details, that was a long session that covered absolutely all of the bases. And it was more sort of just like discovery. And then in my own practice, I just started doing it straight away professionally and was getting good results. And then I worked with a student and practiced past life regression on her. And she went into a couple of different lives and then all of a sudden started speaking in French. And I thought, wow, I can't even speak French. And I was just amazed once again. And then I know I'm talking a lot, but I just get so excited with all of this. And then the next step was I got a phone call from somebody that said they were agoraphobic and would I go and help? And I thought, well, why not? I'll go and help. Mm-hmm. Anyway, spoke to this person. I didn't know the term back then, which obviously when I found out about Dolores, she puts a name on all of these things. But basically, he went very, very deep. And I realized I wasn't speaking to the same individual because it was a completely different voice, a completely different tone, and very, very direct. However, it wasn't the SC. I knew it was something different. Mm-hmm. And I asked whether this other being had been there. Who am I speaking to? I think I said at the time. And he told me this other name, which wasn't the client's name. And what it turns out, cut a long story short, is he was a walk-in because the soul had decided not to go into the baby as it was birthed. It just said, actually, no, I'm not going to be part of this life. And then, so is this agreed upon? This was part of the agreement, the soul contract. I just knew to say that at the time. And he said yes. So I was so excited with that as well. It sort of freaked me out a little bit. And then there was this past life regressionist on the TV, and she was treating celebrities. And I thought, right, I'm qualified now. I'm excited. I've done a few of these. Let me go to someone that's treating celebrities and see what happens in my own session. And so I went to her, and basically after the induction, I stepped out into the universe, and I had really peculiar looking feet. And she brought me straight back round because I don't think she quite knew what I was doing, where I was. And she said to me, your hypnosis isn't very good, is it? And I said, I was getting a real lot there. I was getting a lot of information. And anyway, she didn't want to continue. I don't know what happened. And I just left. Wow. And then zoom forward a couple of years or a few years. And my mother said to me, and my mother was always very, very insightful. She said, my gardener mentioned this lady. She said, her name is Dolores Cannon. She said, I think you're meant to look into her. I said, oh, okay then. So I went online, looked into Dolores Cannon, and just instinctively, as soon as I saw her face, as soon as I heard her voice, I just knew 100%, no doubt, that I was meant to do it. And synchronicity happened again, because she was coming over. This was the beginning of the summer. She was coming over, I think, in the autumn, would have been around about possibly September time.
Right, you said it was in 2011?
Yeah, would that be right? Or around about autumn, something like that. Anyway, I only had a short while to
probably
wait.
So. Yeah, no, probably so.
Yeah, so I spoke to other people in that training, we all felt changed from that initial training, and just more expansive. There was something that happens, and this is what often clients say even before their session. They've only got to watch some of those YouTube videos or read Dolores and his books, and they have these epiphanies and just feel that they gain so much from it. So yeah, and I've not looked back. I've just been doing it full time. I thought I can leave that job that was soul destroying and just do this. And the moment,
did you ever find out what those feet were attached to? What was that?
No,
you didn't get to go back.
No, I've had lots of other experiences of being many different other things, but that one has not been.
That one didn't come back.
I still remember what those feet looked like.
Wow. What did they look like?
They were a little bit like a claw. And quite biggish and gray skin.
And the rest of the body.
Didn't see the rest of the body because she didn't facilitate.
Okay, we can get back in there though. You felt it.
We're doing it. Come on, Natalie. You're working your way up. You see the feet, the skin's gray. Keep going.
Oh, yeah, it's like rabbit legs. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what else? Keep going up.
Quite a full belly. I'm not getting much further than the stomach, I don't think, but maybe I'm not allowing myself.
Yeah, we kind of put you on the spot.
Yeah, we did. And more will come here in a little bit, but I know that you can feel the body. I know that you can feel it because you see the feet, so you can feel it. So that pulls you, that puts you back in touch with it. And so there, just go with your knowing. And if anything comes through, that's fine. It's wonderful. If it doesn't, that's fine, because this is not the normal.
But I like that Julia and I both were like, tell us.
We want to know.
That's more exciting ones than that, since I learned QHHT, much more exciting ones. I think what's great about them, I've witnessed it obviously with other people in their sessions, but even in my own sessions, each one has been completely different than the last. And I think on my level, so I'm level 3 now, but level 2 training, when your mother was still with us physically, we know she's with us spiritually as well, but right. When she was with us physically, we all practiced on one another and we paired up. And then there was one, we had an odd number, and this lady didn't have anybody to work with. And I don't think anyone else felt much like doing it again, but I said, I'll work with you. You can practice on me. And that, do you know what? And she hadn't done many practice sessions, but that one, because I learned really early on to lead myself. So I think that really early on, I was probably channeling more than I was being led by a facilitator. Once you know how to do it, you can kind of channel.
Yeah, and you just go into it.
Yeah.
And Natalie, we should see if Julia will do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to sense that whatever you were in, whatever being that was, I see the speech. I see. I mean, I can do that. I can put myself into it, and I'm like, so I'm gonna. I can do it. I can only go so far. I can only go as far as you've taken it.
I got so little from that session that there's not much to go on, and I believe I probably got all that I was meant to get from that.
They want to correct you.
They love they.
they wish to correct you. I'm sorry, my dear.
She's apologizing ahead of time, Natalie. We love you. Here goes.
That is just what you took away from there, but you got much more information than you will ever.
Oh, downloaded.
Yes. Wow.
A lot of it. That's what I'm saying. If you'll just tap back in, you got a lot of information.
I think that was quantum information. You know, it took me out of just this earth, this body, this whatever, and it probably gave me my first conscious taste of a real sort of vastness.
This is funny. There's you were dipping your toe, those little coffee
toes. Your toe.
You were just dipping it in, just test the waters.
Yeah.
And it opened up this new world for you.
I felt that I'd come off of maybe a ship or something like that, and I was about to immerse into the atmosphere, which was like the universe, and yeah, it's quite amazing.
Very cool.
But I don't know whether you remember, Julia, that the last UK session you did with your mother, I came and helped out then as well, and we used me as a guinea pig again in that session.
Right, in Glasgow.
Guinea pig. Right. And in the break, somebody had handed me a little stone, and as they handed it to me, I don't possess lots of crystals. It's not really my thing. I love them. I like the look of them, but this is my thing. I'm not really so into crystals. But anyway, someone put this stone in my hand, and as they did it, I had like a little like poof of energy come out through my crown, and I thought that was quite interesting. But I needed the bathroom, and I wanted a cup of tea before I came back and had the session done on me. And when I came back, I went back to a life of being a planet. And
Oh, you're planet, okay.
Yeah, and I said, there's these lunar energies shining on me, and I don't really know too much, or I didn't know too much about astrology back then either. I said, there's all these lunar energies on me, and I felt playful, and I felt masculine, and I felt that I had this mother planet by the side of me. And what was amazing is, apparently, I was told that this piece of stone that I had held was a piece of Jupiter. And I knew that I was brown, the colours of Jupiter, and the word Jupiter came to me as well. So I don't know whether I just channeled that, what I held, or whether that was actually a past life as well. But they can take you in all sorts of different directions. You never get bored with QHHT.
No, or any of the things that come with it. Because like you said, see, it keeps opening up all of these other worlds for you. Because you have these experiences, and then also you're facilitating and you're seeing all these things, it just keeps opening up the mind more and more and more. And then that just brings all these wonderful things into your life.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So that it's funny what we consider normal.
I don't know if we could ever just go to an average family party get together again.
Do the small chit chat.
So what else can I tell you that would be useful for people to sort of hear about? So is it more client session experiences or my own?
Yeah, let's talk about, because you had the one, like the first one, I think. Okay, so now any session experiences or any that pop out at you as something that you'd like to share? See, that's
another synchronicity. I think another synchronicity was the last session I actually did, because this particular lady has just sent me feedback this morning, funny enough, which I put on the online. But she was interesting because, again, this is synchronistic, and I thought these are the two I'm going to speak about mainly, even though there's been, you know, a lot. I'm just trying to remind myself. So what I've noticed is sometimes, we know that sometimes people feel that they can't move forwards. They feel they might use the term blocked, metaphorical language, or stuck, those kinds of things. And sometimes it's from this life we've learned. And it could be conditioning, or it could be a trauma that's happened in the past, and we review that, and it's the healing comes from shining light onto the original event that releases the emotional charge that might still be triggering the individual to this day. Just put my teeth in. But other times, what's amazing is with the QHHT, you never know where it's going to take the person. So more often than not, they will go back into a past life, and there could even be, if it's a strong enough feeling in them that's causing them what they perceive to be issues to this day, sometimes within many lives, completely different lives, but they've got a particular theme, a pattern that we see in them. And so sometimes it's showing a past life. Sometimes it might be showing a parallel life. Sometimes it seems more metaphorical. So people can take that from that what they will. But this particular lady, she was covered in eczema. And she had a lot of eczema around her mouth, eczema on her wrists, and eczema all across her neck.
We know where this is going.
Yeah, and asthma and allergies. And the first life that she sort of panicked, first of all, because she entered the water and then realized it's the sea and then realized that she's actually got a tail. And so then when she realized she's got a tail and she could move, she stopped panicking. Cutting a long story short, I will go back to it. The reason she had the panic is because the SC told us towards the end of that session, she'd had another previous life where she was drowned because she was a herbalist and they decided that's witchcraft, which was ridiculous because she was helping people and healing people. So obviously the initial being in the sea made her panic, first of all, because that's still a trauma that was sort of running in there. And she became this mermaid. And I think she was fairly happy, first of all. And she had a community. I've had a few people have lives as mermaids. And there was a community and everything was good. And she was playful and she played with the dolphins. And she had a merman. Well, actually, the merman was more of a playman, first of all. but then there came a day where it became quite dark. She didn't realise the darkness initially because it was just there. And there became less and less food, it became more and more empty, and then there was no plant life either and nothing to eat. And then somebody wanted to be king, and she decided that we don't need to be controlled. And this becomes very metaphorical of right now what's going on in the world, I feel. We don't need a king, we don't need to be controlled. I'm gonna leave. And so she left, and a short time afterwards, she realised the merman had followed her, so he wanted to go with her. And she thought to herself, I'm going to just stay with the dolphins because the dolphins have got a very high frequency. And they didn't have much to eat either. So anything that she could find, she would give her food to the dolphins, because she kind of felt guilty that she felt that the community had actually caused the environment to be so bad. And they made it unlivable, because that's just the way it was. That's just the way that they lived, which reminds me of kind of what we're going through right now once again.
Yeah.
And
the entitlement thing. Yeah,
exactly. But then came a day where the sun started shining, the plant life started to grow back. She had children with her merman, and they'd made a home in coral, and it was very, very beautiful. And what do you know, the rest of the community all of a sudden turned up, and they wanted to take part in what they had created, this beautiful world, this beautiful existence. They'd improved the environment where they were, and they lived, and their intent was to be good for all, and to actually receive messages from the dolphins. They were high frequency, and she said, if we look after the dolphins look after us. And in that life, I'm just trying to think what happened afterwards. The SC said she had the role of the guardian in that life, but that wasn't the first life as a guardian. She's been a guardian in many lives before. And in fact, she's a guardian in this life. But she's got a knee, she's had a knee problem as well, which she hadn't told me about in the pre-talk, but the subconscious told me about it. It's because she feels stuck. And because she's not feeling worthy herself, she's so, in this day and age, we're so focused on the external, how we look. Right. If we'd have given her an issue that was more internal, she might not have noticed it. And she's very visual, the subconscious said. So we knew that if we gave her the eczema on the external, it would draw her attention to it, and that she has to live her truth. People are waking up now. Now is the time. She has an affinity with children. She's meant to be working some sort of counselling type role, not traditional counselling. She will blend some sort of counselling role for the children, because they so need it at the moment. And the energy of the dolphins are very similar to the energy of the autistic children. And if we just stop and be quiet and listen, we will be able to intuit and understand telepathically from these children as well. And she has this gift. And she's definitely a guardian, and she's to help children with either autism or the children that are being rescued from the tunnels at the moment, which I doubt whether many people know about that. They can do their own research there because they so need it at this time. So I thought that was absolutely amazing. It said that she's a leader and it's time to lead. And people are waking up. This is a very, very important time. And the only thing is that people, and the voice really, really changed at this point when it said, "And people are so late to the party in awakening."
Oh, how funny.
You that way sometimes. That's great.
So it basically said that by the end of the summer, her eczema would be cleared. So we'll have to watch this space. We have faith that that will happen. Her allergies are simply what the body doesn't need. The subconscious worked on the heart. It felt really, really heavy. It took a while to clear that, actually. But basically, she had other people's stuff. She was such an empath that she had taken on other people's stuff and her own. She hadn't spoken her truth. She hadn't led herself. She had locked it all in. So it did some clearing and it cleared space so that in future, things would just be able to pass through.
Yeah. And you said you got feedback from her this morning?
Yeah, she did give really lovely feedback. She said, "My session with Natalie was brilliant. I went in with few expectations and a huge feeling of excitement and synchronicity. Natalie creates such a calm and safe environment for healing. It's so easy to talk to her." And I think people get a lot from the talk, first of all, as well, just creating that space to listen, unjudgmental, to get off of their chest what it is. And so much happens in that. In fact, it starts to happen before the session, the moment they book the session. And the same happened with this lady, actually, because she had said that she was drawn to particular books that helped her understand her mother's behaviour towards her. She had always felt that her mother didn't like her, and the subconscious had guided her after booking the session to a particular book that explained that relationship. But obviously the subconscious gave her a lot more information on that. She'd had other lives with the mother, and the mother was there for a purpose. In every single life, she was always a test. We needed to do a forgiveness process there as well. It agreed to that, and we did that, and a lot of energy and breathing, heavy breathing was happening as we sort of tore up the contract there, because she'd already got the lesson. There was no need to keep cycling like a hamster on a wheel with that lesson. It had been lived and learned so many times in so many lives.
Yeah. So was there information given about that? Like, there's no need to keep doing that. No need to keep going around and around and around. Was information given there as far as, if we don't need it, then why do we keep doing it?
So the main thing says the role of being a test for her in many lives before, for her to continue to, for her individually, it was to continue to be better and better. And it said she's already doing the work. She's woken herself up.
That's a big part of it, probably, just to wake yourself up. It's like, how many times are you going to do this before you finally get tired of doing it?
Yeah. She's already done a lot of the work.
Right.
And she doesn't need to do it anymore. Like
that's probably the message, or that's probably the reason for it happening. It's like, well, you just wake up.
Yes.
And as soon as you wake up, then you can step off.
That's it. So. Yeah. It was quite emotional. She obviously said, "I just want my mother to love me." She said, "But I just don't think it's possible." But it's no good dragging that around if it's so hurtful.
Right.
So, you know, maybe another relationship can be built in a different way, because I think there's a lot of energy shifting that goes on in the session, and obviously in the forgiveness process, that, you know, you never know what's going to happen afterwards. You can decide.
That's a beautiful session. Lots of really good information.
It was, yeah. It said it's going to be meaningful, and she needs to speak her truth and just continue with that. She's a quiet leader. We're start small. It's okay. Sometimes I kind of tune in, but I don't say anything in the pre-talk, because I thought she tries to not speak up in groups, and I probably recognized that in myself as well, and that's probably why I recognized it in her. I didn't say anything. And in the session it said, it's okay, she can start small, but she will be speaking and it will be to more people. I took it that it meant to more people later on. It's going to be meaningful, because she was somebody that said she didn't like small talk. She likes to have a conversation, needed to be meaningful, needed to be worthwhile.
Right. Mm. So, and that's interesting. I know Tracy and I both had an idea of where that was going to go because of the symptoms you're talking about.
Yeah. It didn't go there.
Sorry, I'll read about that eczema. She's a visual eczema. That was that bit. If we'd had given her something, I told you that. We were so absorbed in how we look. It's what's inside that shines out. She has had what the British call, you'll like this one. She has had what the British call a stiff upper lip. Hence the eczema over the mouth. Live true to yourself, free from the expectations of others. The eczema is fading fast now. It will go before the end of the summer. Sorry, I didn't finish that before. Yeah, so it's always something different, I think. Well, I say always. I've had other cases of people with eczema, and it's been other things. But for that,
it was that is about how your outer appearance or anything, but it also sounds like, and she was being told about speaking, because usually anything around the mouth and this whole area has something to do with, with speaking and saying something.
And then it was really throat. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what was the around the wrist, though?
She felt bound. Now, I know, and I'm trying to think, the subconscious mentioned three lives that we didn't go into detail with. We went into detail of the mermaid's life, but on speaking to the subconscious, it said she'd had three lives, just seeing if I can find it now. And I think the third one might have covered the wrist thing. I think that maybe when, I can't find it now, I think it was when she was drowned in a past life, the subconscious said, for being this herbalist that made it was a witch, but she was it's come back to me now. She was bound and then put into the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
So with that, we release the emotional charge around that. So that's why the subconscious said, it's get the healing, it's clearing fast now, it's fading fast now was the words. Yeah.
Yeah. Our history as a human race, there's so many brutal things that we have done. And it's how cruel and what a horrific way to go. So that might be traumatizing. You can see we bring that back in.
Yeah, that's right. So
I love how in one life she's drowning and that's her demise, and then in another one, that's her whole life.
Yeah,
and
she's in the water. Finds
great happiness. In the water.
The dolphins and the merman.
Yeah. And there was that. And then the knee was interesting as well, because you hadn't mentioned that in the pre-talk, but nurture it, the subconscious said. She had felt stuck. Move forwards now. Enough waiting. Do some sort of counsel. Oh, I told you about this. Children will need her help. They have so many allergies, and the vaccines are so bad. There are lots of ways to help. What's happening now is good. People are getting angry because they've been lied to for so long. This is happening for the greater good. Everyone works at their own place. Pace. Just drop the seeds and the crumbs of truth. The truth can't be told. It has to be found out. All is well.
Wow.
Love it. There was so much there. I was struggling to think of all the different messages that came forwards.
Yeah.
I thought that was
a great message for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was the last session I did. And so I could remember the last one better than I can remember one.
Today. Yeah.
But that's the one.
6 years. Pick one from 6 years ago. No.
Yeah. No kidding.
If I were to ask you, different healings you've had happen in sessions.
Sometimes I'm frightened to say, because people call with an expectation, mm-hmm. and it's good to have that expectation, mm-hmm. to set the intent. But as we know, we can't promise anything. The subconscious will only do what it agrees to do for the benefit and the learning and the evolvement of the individual.
Right. And if it's appropriate for them, and if it's their time, and another thing that we know is they have to do their part.
Yes.
Healing can happen, but if they're not doing whatever has to be done to hold, to keep the healing, because, and if that doesn't make sense, because it's like, what do you mean keep the healing? And it's like, mm-hmm. we have to understand what creates these things.
Yes,
and
yeah.
it's mental attitudes, it's behavior, it's lifestyles, it's all kinds of things. Yes, and yeah. if we come in and get the healing, I mean, it's all cleared up. We get this beautiful perspective, all of this information in the session, yeah. but then we go back yeah. to the other life and everything is the same, then does it make sense that, I mean, you had healing here in this environment, what you were shown, yes. because you will see healing yes. immediately from yes. that because of being shown all those things. But then if you go back to your other way of thinking, living, being, mm-hmm. do you think this can be sustained in this? And that's yeah. really what it comes down to. This yeah. has to change if yeah. you want to keep this.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah. So, joint issues have been benefited in quite a few sessions. Not every single time, but I've had some feedback that they have improved. I think I recall eyesight in a couple of individuals have improved.
I love how she's being so politically correct.
Oh, yeah, I'm on time.
Everybody to understand that's what she's being here because... Yeah. Yes, because in many places you can't say the word healed, you can't say cured, you can't yeah. can just say it was benefited. I love it.
Yeah.
Well,
on that note, somebody was having, I think they were level four. This is quite a few years ago when I was doing the method
level
from
four.
London. Level four, stage four cancer.
Oh, okay. And, I was like, well, we don't have level four.
I was like, wow, we're going into the future.
Okay.
And they were given a short lifespan, short time to live. And as she's been in touch with me a couple of times since, and she'd gone into remission. So that was good.
I mean, it's this simple, guys. Mm. To keep this, change this. And that's what the SC will actually tell you. It will show you exactly what you have to do to maintain this.
Yeah. Yeah, negotiation.
And if when it sticks, I know some people, it didn't stick. Well, okay. So when it sticks, you changed this. You did what the SC said to do, and you changed what was necessary to change to maintain, to make this stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that saying? If you do what you did, you're going to get what you got?
Always got, yeah. Right, yeah. The definition, and the other one is the definition of madness is doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think that's really, this came through earlier in the week for me. And it's like, and I actually heard something again today on the same line. And so I think this may be, it's kind of like what you're saying. The SC is really telling people a lot now about the trusting themselves and all that. What I'm hearing is about taking the responsibility for your creation.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so that's kind of what's coming in underneath of this when I'm getting heated. Yeah. It's because it's like, guys, this yeah. is you. Yeah. You did this. Yeah. Understand this.
That's a word that's been coming in a lot. Responsibility. Take responsibility. This is your responsibility. Nobody else can do this for you. That kind of stuff keeps coming through. So yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
So are you hearing that much?
Oh yeah, all the time. When you really hear the subconscious change the tone from how the person has been speaking before, it's very direct. And sometimes so frustrated as well. And it just says, they know this. They know this already. And so many times people sit, they can say, wow, first of all, is normally the first word that I hear is wow. And then they sit up and they just say, I did know a lot of that already. I didn't know I was meant to do that. But until we take action on it, you don't get the solution or the way that you would like.
Right. Well, and hopefully it's removing any doubt that they're making that up in their mind or whatever. You know, it's confirming to get it in those sessions. I already knew that. And I hear that a lot too. They'll say, well, they already know. They already know. Can you say it anyway?
Yeah. Well, that's what was so big for me the first time I finally had a session with mom where we went to the SC, because we had many sessions before that, before she did the SC stuff, where it was just a past life because I was a guinea pig. And so, you know, just we worked through all those things. And then after she was doing the SC, we did that. But by that point, I was already getting, I was getting little messages and things, but and I really didn't know what it was. So whenever we did the SC, it was the same kind of thing, as I did know a lot of that, but it was really cool to understand where it was coming from.
Because
I really didn't know.
No.
And so I think it's wonderful for that. It's making that connection to the guidance system.
It definitely is. If we're going to say there's a theme for right now in repeated sessions, it is to listen to what you sense feels right for the body in terms of foods, listen to what feels right in terms of your truth, your information, but certainly to speak up and speak your truth, and to also look after themselves, because you can't give on empty. So it's been about self-care and advice on what we get a lot is advice on what the person can do to look after themselves in a better way to move forwards. But if there was one message I've heard throughout doing this QHHT, right from the very beginning to today, well, not right now, but up to the most recent sessions, is they need to meditate. And so obviously the meditation is our way to sort of quieten this monkey mind, this ego mind, and just connect to our higher truth, which we all have access to. But when we're busy being like, you know, a headless chicken running around in circles and just being busy, busy, busy all the time, doing, instead of just a human being, you sort of, people seem to lose track of their own internal truth, their own messages. And if everyone could just have like a ritual of, you know, starting the day and ending the day, even if it was just for 1 minute or 5 minutes, just even the smallest amount of time, just set a ritual, start small and grow it from there, just connecting, just stilling that monkey mind and start to train it, because it doesn't know anything compared to this subconscious. It's just waiting for us to listen to it.
Yeah.
So that's
something. Yeah, have I you got that message? Well, have you gotten that message many times where the SC comes in, subconscious comes in and goes, finally, finally we can talk?
But it's been exasperated in words to that effect. Yeah.
We've been finally, they're listen.
Yeah, we've been trying to tell them. Yeah, I've heard that lots of times. Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, so that was good. And so anything else I can tell you?
We've run out of time. Just very quickly, I want you to tell everybody how they can reach you, how they can find you if they want to get hold of you.
Yeah, so my website is my name, but it's natalie-hall.com. And you can just get in touch with me there. The link to my email is there. And or to call me. My phone number's on the website. Okay, email's easiest, though, for first of all, really.
Yeah, and we also have Natalie on our profile page. You have a profile page on the QHHT official website.
Yes, yeah.
And that link's over probably to your website as well.
Yes. I'm guessing,
so, yeah.
That's good.
Any questions?
I'm putting it in the chat pages just so everyone knows. I'm putting that in the chat.
Okay. Any questions from the chat? Anything happening over there, or we catch everybody off guard?
We got a little rogue going on in the chat. I'm going to ask those people to knock it off. but we have people from Scotland, from Australia, from Africa, all over the world, again, watching, listening. So hello to everybody. Not so much questions, but as much as people just saying they're enjoying the show and they're having a good time listening and hearing the stories. So that part's good. And then there's some conversation that has nothing to do with the show going on in there, and I kind of got lost in that for a little bit.
Distraction.
Like, did she talk about that? What? So for you going rogue, you don't need to be in our chat room if you're not going to listen to the show.
I think that's funny because you're talking about, well, you were talking about the chicken with his head cut off, just running around, just doing, and that's kind of what that. I wonder if it happened about the same time.
Yeah,
this is a demonstration of just it's a distraction is what it is.
Yeah, it really is.
I remembered what else I was leading on to from the meditation. When I started to realize what I was doing in the sessions when we had students practice on me, and I thought, this is more of a channeling because I'm just going with where I feel compelled to go in this. I've started to say to people for quite a while now, you know, this, your meditation practice and then something like quantum healing hypnosis is like, if I wanted to get this bicep big and strong, it takes the repetition to get it bigger. Whereas when you work in these sort of realms, you strengthen that connection. So by the time you leave here, my hope for you is that you can recognize your subconscious when it's giving you the messages. It's always with you. It doesn't take QHHT to be there. It's always with you. It's always trying to speak to you, and to just carry on with the meditation after that. And that would be, I think if everybody did that, we'd have a much better world.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question in that experience of, you know, some people do have a hard time connecting, meditating, getting to the SC, and in the hypnosis and the QHHT, you go there. Do you think that's helping people when they go home now and they go into meditation, that now they know what that feels like to connect? It makes it easier for them to do that?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. They also get their keyword that they can repeat to themselves afterwards and just sort of touch in there. But I think what I've noticed in my practice, because I've got the life coaching side of what I do and I've got this practice, is that different people find different ways that they have a preference to. So whether they prefer visuals or auditory, a sound or a word or whatever it is that they need to repeat to themselves. They get, everyone's got their preference. I don't think there's a one way that fits all. The just all of these ways can help us, and it's to find your own groove, I think.
It really is. And everyone's a unique little fingerprint, aren't they? And
they are.
No two sessions are alike. And
And sometimes the SC can tell them how they want it, how they want to do it. Sometimes I say, how often would you like them to do this? And it will say, how often? It's very, very specific.
It can be, for sure.
Very
cool.
So I think that's some of my experiences. There's loads more. It's up to you if you want me to tell you more or to talk about mine.
We have like 3 minutes. I would like you to, I always like to have kind of like a parting message, just like whatever you would like to have to leave out there. So I feel like it's coming from a story. So if you might do that, maybe do another little story or something, and then leave everybody with a kind of a final word.
Well, I think the theme, I should just carry on the theme that, you know, just switch off the TV, the lie vision, turn off the television, and to your truth and make your own decisions as to what's good for you, understand what a virus is and what the world might be telling us, and take action on, you know, what you know and feel is good. Just like the session I was discussing, my last session, the environment was changed. I knew that what they were doing was not good for the environment, but they just, it's just the way they did it. So they just carried on spoiling things, spoiling life until there was nothing left. It all dried up.
Not taking responsibility.
It's about taking action.
Well, that word again, responsibility.
Not taking responsibility for it.
I think that session came up for a reason. It was the last one. The feedback came through this morning, and it seems like a metaphorical message for right now, you know, just to wake up. And as the subconscious said to her, everybody has been, so many people have been so late to the party, it's time to wake up. Find your own truth.
Should we all just start doing the, come on, just wake up.
It's exciting times, because I think people are, and so many are. So it is, it's exciting times.
And so many times, that's what I've heard this over and over and over again, is like, sometimes it takes calamities to get people to jolt out of their sleepwalking state. And so if you notice, we're having quite a few things happening and stuff, and it's trying to jolt us awake, you know. It's like, hello. And I think it'll just keep doing that as yes. long as we're sleepwalking. So come on,
sleep. Stand strong. Yeah. Stand strong in your truth. It's not just, it could be this, or it could be that, and I've been told this. This seems to be the status quo. I don't think the wishy-washy is going to work anymore. I think it's making some decisions. And
it's a powerful thing when you do lock into your decision, because it creates a shift, and there's no, the universe doesn't have to sit there and do this dance with you anymore. Now it can go, oh, boom, there you go.
That's reminded me of so many sessions, even in the other personal development methods that I use, that the biggest issue, no matter what the seeming reason is when someone walks through the door, is most people have got a conflict. Part of them knows this, but part of them is at the opposite to that. And it's very hard to make a decision when they're in a conflict. They know they should make a change in a particular area of their life, but they've given themselves an excuse not to do it. So they stay in limbo, they feel exhausted, fatigued, and then you stay in that state long enough, what do you know? The body becomes diseased, it becomes ill, because they're not listening to the message, they're not committing, they're not making a decision. But as soon as a decision is made, the whole energy changes, what you manifest, what you draw to you changes. So I think it's easy to go into anxiety and fearful thinking when you keep looking at stuff on social media and the television. Mm-hmm. However, if you want to keep calm and balanced so that you manifest more of the same, maybe we need to understand a dip in a little bit as to what's going on here and there, but not spend too much time there, but spend more time with our own selves and cultivating our own practices to really sort of trust ourselves to go forwards and to make those very, very definite decisions, as opposed to just listening to what's coming through the TV and reading what's on social media. Then you can make a clear decision and build that momentum.
Yeah, wonderful.
So very clearly what I am hearing is this personal choice. You have the choice to decide one way or the other.
Yeah.
And what you allow in your world, what you allow into yourself to be exposed to.
Yeah.
These are all things that you can choose.
Yes. Yeah. I think when I first started digging, well, not first, I had a lot of people that knew a lot of stuff that would be drawn to this method, quantum healing hypnosis. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of wise souls here. Very, very knowledgeable about so much, and they teach me so much, and when they've really dug deep, sometimes it can be quite upsetting and disappointing as to what's going on in the world behind the scenes. And I've suggested in previous times, just let it go for now, just let it go. You know what's happening. You can make changes in your own life you make positive changes, what feels good to you. But if we feel negative to the extent that we make ourselves feel ill or anxious or too angry, that's not going to really help the situation. We're of no use to anybody like that. So I think it's balance, looking at a little bit of information, but spending more time with ourselves and making some very positive, clear decisions as to what we're going to allow in, what's sacred, what's not going to happen, what's natural, what feels right, what doesn't. And it's either a yes or it's a no, and speaking up.
Absolutely. And I like what you said there, as far as like, it's like you're it's in alignment. What's in alignment with yourself?
That's right.
And you know that. You know, it's just a feeling thing. People say, well, I don't do all this. I understand that. Yes, you do. Something doesn't feel right.
So
acknowledge that, first of all, because you can. Everybody knows if it's right or wrong.
Yes.
We all have that barometer.
We do. Yeah. And be honest.
Be honest. Have integrity, be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Julia, we got some questions in here.
Okay.
We've got some people in the chat that are curious about, we know we're in quarantine, right? So taking training to become a practitioner, they're wondering, I'll just read it. I want to train as a practitioner. Are all the courses online, or do I have to wait until after lockdown in order to attend training? I'm in the UK. So this is perfect. This is a great segue for what's been going on with the live trainings.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, our level one course has been online for years now. And so that's always available to you. Some people choose to go to live classes, and until we have our live classes back, the online course is perfect. Now, because of the situation, we were already thinking about it, and so it caught us a little bit behind, so we weren't quite ready for it, but our level two training is almost ready to be launched out there, so that you will have, so be online. So that will be available soon, especially for this time period. When we can have our live classes again, we much prefer the live classes, because as you said, Natalie, you know, I mean, you have those sessions that you're doing there. There's so much. Would you say something about the camaraderie of everybody else in that class with you? And, you know, it's like there's.
I've done both. I've done the online and the in-person, and yeah, you can get the information and everything you need online to be a practitioner, but the experience of being in person, I think the bond you make with the classmates and just being in the energy of the class is something to be experienced. So hopefully if you can do the in-person, I would say go to the class. That would be my recommendation, but you definitely get the same
absolutely
beautiful information and knowledge and ability to be a practitioner.
Right. Either and then way. we have classes that we call, you know, companion classes. And I was just talking to Natalie about that before we started the show, because she has been trained in doing that. Well, actually you have too, haven't you, Tracy? In the companion classes. So that's something that we have developed for people that have taken the level one online class. And then you can take this companion class so you can get that live component. So if you're in an area, because these are much smaller classes, they're like, you know, 5-10 max, you know, they're small classes, and you get the piece that's not in the online class, and that's the practice sessions and then the live feedback, things like that with your own sessions. So if we are able to get those, and Natalie, you're in the UK, and you are, so I don't know, I was asking you that beforehand, if you thought you might be able to do that, if things have lifted enough where you can do that. And if that's the case, then maybe we can get that organized and get that announced pretty soon.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Anyway, so that way we're giving you what we can in the situation. You know, we're all working with this as best we can, but we do have level one online, and level two is coming out soon. And then the live companion courses,
Where do they find that information?
They can get all the information on the courses that they need, live, companion, blah, 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 online. All the courses, everything is at qhhtofficial.com. And if you just Google QHHT,
you're going to find it.
Okay. So, yeah. But it's QHHT official is our official website. Even if you go to DoloresCannon.com, it will link over to the QHHT official site. So perfect. There are many ways to get there. But everything you
literally,
need,
yeah. I said literally, you can be online, you can do in person, many ways to get there.
So it ever works for you. But absolutely. We are trying to make this as easy as we can for people to learn this and do it. And because it is, as you said, Natalie, I mean, it's rewarding. It's so it's so wonderful to help people see who they really are, and really understand their situations and explore these things and, you know, and grow and develop. But then in the same time, you get a side effect benefit of growing and developing too.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. A win-win.
Win-win, absolutely. Okay, so any other questions, Tracy?
I think that's it for now. We're getting thank you'd for addressing that, and I think we've got it. I hope. There are a lot of comments in there, but like I said, some of those weren't even relevant to our show, so I'm just not even going to go through that. But yeah, it's been a really great audience. Like I said, people all over the world. I do want to thank Judy for showing up. She's a level two practitioner over in Australia. It's bright and early over there for them. So she made an effort to show up for the live show. So she sent me a message earlier this week and said, are you guys going to do a weird show again this week? And we do want to say, we're pre-recording for the for Friday's show because of the time differences. And so Dawn has been wonderful in letting us go live with these pre-records, and it has been really a treat to be able to reach a different audience at a different time. Mm-hmm. And so my gratitude to that has been fun. We get a really great audience for not announcing that we're going to be live. It's just been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So thank you for everyone that's been showing up to the live show and joining us. And for Judy for getting up bright and early so that she could be part of that.
Anyone who's here at odd hours.
Yeah.
Even the UK, because, well, no, it's not as late there.
It's what is it, about 9 o'clock there, isn't it? PM?
I think so. Yeah, it's 9:05.
Yeah.
So we love you all. Thank you so much. And Natalie, thank you so much for being here and telling the story. This has been
my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Tracy, always love.
To everyone.
Absolutely. Love you all.
And bye, everybody.
See you next week, everyone.
See you. Bye.